My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, just after 3 o'clock, Jeremy Chinn from the Washington Commanders is going to join us in about 15 minutes or so. We'll have Nell's Super Six Pack, and we'll fold it into cleanup on aisle 3. Will he finally have the stones, the onions, to put the Washington Commanders in the top six? Unlike his very positive, optimistic co-host, partner and friend who put the Commanders in my top six last Friday. That's right. I was ahead of the curve. As usual, I was a trendsetter.
I mean, tell that to somebody who believes it. You know, my new line has been, argue with somebody you love, not me.
Well, you're gonna put that on a T-shirt
for the,
too
for the crazy callers.
Who came up with that?
Who did you borrow that from?
You
don't even use your own name.
Like that was my choice.
I still think that's like the crazy. If I was in that position, I don't know what the hell I would do.
Let me get to my guy Roy in Brunswick because we haven't heard from Roy in a while. What's up, Roy?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing
today?
Hello,
doing good, brother. Long time no hear from you, Roy.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nuts at work. But I was actually out on a business lunch today in Sterling, and I ran into none other than Fred Smoot picking up a to-go order. And, I you know, he's just in a T-shirt. And I looked at him, and I'm like, Fred. And I was like, dude, it's Roy from Brunswick. I talked to you guys a bunch of times. And I think you remember me, or at least did a good job pretending to. And just, man, I just wanted to shout him out because he's the nicest guy. And it's like everybody acts friendly when you guys are doing events and everybody knows that a bunch of cameras are on you. But this dude is the most genuine dude. Like, talk to me for 5 minutes, just real down to earth, and just really enjoyed the conversation. I was like, man, I'm thinking of going to Baltimore to see this game this weekend. And he's like, yeah, I was going to go too, but I looked and the tickets are expensive. And I'm like, damn, well, if they're too expensive for Fred, then there's no way they're in my price range because I'm not on Fred Smoot's budget.
I was going to say, Fred could probably get them from somebody and not have to sweat it. But, I mean, I don't know what the ticket prices are. I heard somebody talking about them. I would have to imagine – you know, if you go on the secondary market, probably
$1,500.
I was going to say a couple hundred bucks a piece of, you know, for decent seats, whatever decent seats qualify as. But yeah, I mean, Baltimore obviously has a sold out electric atmosphere for pretty much every game. There was a couple of years before Lamar got there late in December as they were struggling to get like past 20 points where you would see some swaths of empty seats. And I remember one year like their attendance was way down and then they drafted Lamar. And since then, and obviously it helps that they've won a lot of games, you know, since then is no problem. So yeah, you're going to pay a fortune. And that's, by the way, exactly surprised. How it's going to be here. I mean, you already pay a fortune to begin with, but the better Jaden Daniels is, the better the Commanders are as a team, the more you're going to pay out your you-know-what.
Well, I mean, honestly, Chris, I went to the game last week, and I'm going to the game next week, you know, the next home game with the Panthers. And, I mean, I think we paid from a reseller, like $130 or $140 with season included.
I understand that. I understand that, and I'm glad you got in. But remember, last week didn't even sell out, number one.
Yeah, that's true.
Number two, it's Cleveland and Carolina. Like, not to take anything away. Try the tickets, you know, against Pittsburgh, who has a large traveling contingent, and presuming that the Commanders are, I don't know, 7-3, 8-2, whatever they might be by the time Pittsburgh gets here, you know, try the Dallas game the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Then we're talking a whole different ball of wax.
Sure. Real quick about this weekend, I think you know, this is pivotal for John Allen and Daron Payne, and honestly, last week Mathis was in the backfield, but if those AAB gap guys can get some push, and this is why you bring in Luvu and, yep, and Wagner from other places, if they can get some push internally and stack up Henry in the hole and set up third and long, like, that's your only chance. Because if it's third and two, third and three, like we've been with Jaden, if both teams are in third and two, third and three all game, it's going to be like the Bengals game where last team with the ball wins, I feel like.
Yeah, I got you. Always good to hear from you. I'm glad you got to run into Smoot and have some fun, and always good to have you a part of the show. Thank you, Roy. Be safe out there. All right, let's get to Lamar Jackson agreed with Jaden Daniels about when asked about the comparison.
Yeah, he said
they shouldn't compare. He's his own player, right?
Exactly.
And that is true. There is no doubt about that. Again, I want to be clear. I am not mad at Jaden Daniels for saying he does not want to be compared to Lamar Jackson. Again, I don't want to be compared to Mike Francesa, who not everybody might know, but I mean, if you pay attention to radio media, you know anything about the sports talk radio business, you would know the name, right? I don't want, like, it wouldn't, like, make me angry. I mean, I don't think Jaden's angry. I just say this: don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Just be you, man. That's what's gotten you to this point. You are you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all. I mean, it wasn't a criticism. All right, let's get to the Birdman here, because I got some things that I've got to figure out and discuss here as I'm trying to figure this out. Birdie, what is going on with you and people accusing me of saying this is the battle of the DMV?
Look, I just seen what was on Twitter, and I'm like, I don't remember you saying it.
Yeah, I don't even see that. It in what you've sent me here, but maybe I'm missing something about Major Tutty said Baltimore is not the DMV. I mean, everybody knows that Baltimore
is not
part of the DMV.
No.
It's in Maryland, which Maryland is part of the DMV, but we're talking Maryland as in PG County and more southern Maryland as opposed to Baltimore and Baltimore County, right?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. That's like saying Allegheny County is part of the DMV.
Yeah.
It's not.
Right. I just want to be clear. I don't know how I got caught up in this, but I just want to be clear. I don't think I ever called it a battle of the DMV. I didn't even refer to it as the Battle of the Beltways. I didn't refer to it as anything. It's just a good football game. Two teams that live, you know, or that play within, you know, a certain proximity, 30 miles of each other. That's it.
That's all it is.
All right.
That's all
okay.
It is.
I just wanted to clear that up.
So, Chris, I want to clear this up.
Uh-oh.
For the first time in my life,
uh-oh,
I'm going to agree with Linnell.
Ah!
I am tired of the Lamar Jackson hate that you spoo out of your mouth.
That I spoo? Okay? Is that a new word?
It is absolutely ridiculous. So last year was the first time Munkin was here.
I mean, you got your panties on. I mean, please.
You want him to have his panties off?
It's a little bit of a criticism that he's not Tom Brady.
A little bit of a criticism.
Peyton Manning from the pocket, for God's sake.
You're basically Chris, trying to say if the kid couldn't run, he wouldn't be in the NFL. That's basically what you're saying.
He had to play in the scheme that was there.
Yeah.
Okay, when Greg Roman was there, it wasn't a passing thing.
Yeah,
he had to make opportunities.
Right. Why do you think the scheme was built that way, though? Why do you think the scheme was built that way? It's because they were trying to cover his limitations.
Oh, BS, Chris.
You don't think so?
Greg Roman is a
who has been your head coach for how? Who has been your head coach for the last dozen plus years?
Harbaugh lets his offensive coordinators take the fall.
Okay.
He's been doing that ever since Matt Kavanaugh was here.
If Harbaugh thought there was anything legitimately, purposefully wrong holding back Lamar all those years, you think he would have fired Roman? You think he would have waited as long as he did?
I think he would have, because he was trying to figure out, you know, get an opportunity with somebody else. They hired Todd Monken. And like Vinny was saying, you know, Lamar's getting better, because I tell you why. You're going to see a quarterback on Sunday that is doing a lot more audibles on the line. Okay? This is the first year he's been doing that.
He should be. He's 6 years into his career. For God's sakes, Jaden's doing it now.
Greg Roman would not allow him to do that.
Okay. So that's Greg Roman was a control freak. What do you, I mean, you know, like, again, part, I'm not saying that Greg Roman's the greatest offensive coordinator since sliced bread. What I'm simply saying is Lamar Jackson,
you got him squirming, Birdman.
It took a while for Lamar Jackson to grow into what he is now. And what I'm saying is there are, he is no doubt a better pocket passer now than he ever was. There is no doubt. I've said that repeatedly last year. Nobody wants to remember that, but I'm telling you, there are throws that have me worried as you know what, number one. And number two, what I'm trying to point out is if you can execute, you know this, Birdie, you've known me for a long time. When Doug Flutie or when Rob Johnson with the Bills would go against the Jets and Bill Belichick, when Belichick was running the Jets, those cats couldn't do a damn thing. They couldn't do anything because Belichick's defense would keep them in the pocket, make them beat them from the pocket. They could not do anything. Is Lamar better than that? Of course he is. Of course he is.
But Chris, you're missing a point, though, because the only person that Lamar had to throw to, and let's not even bring Hollywood Brown into this because he was a no-show in Baltimore.
They drafted
Andrews.
15 guys.
He had Andrews going behind the linebacker.
Zay Flowers is the only one who's been wanted the damn, Chris.
I mean, they drafted Rashad Perriman. They drafted
They couldn't hit. They haven't hit on receivers,
okay, well,
Chris.
Part of that is the quarterback.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Are you kidding?
Stop it.
No, it's not.
All those guys suck.
They had Flacco before that. And
you're
and
saying that, that it's Lamar.
Ball.
Hold on, Birdman, because Matt, can you clip this off? This is the dumbest thing you've ever.
You're all saying, of those guys suck.
You're saying it's Lamar Jackson's fault.
Hollywood
that
Brown sucks.
Hasn't hit on wide receivers.
Hollywood Brown
sucks. Is that what you're trying to
say? No, I'm saying he deserves some of the blame.
No,
instead of you,
he deserves
instead
none
of you
of it.
Jock sniffers being like, yeah, Lamar's perfect. Lamar can't do anything wrong. Lamar's great.
You should see him in this damn studio right now.
I gotta cut you guys off.
This is why you're my man,
Birdie, I love you. You know that. You're I'll keep
Damn.
Screaming
but Chris,
at you after
really
the show.
Really though, if we have the Odyssey hat app, Matt can clip it. You
we
said,
have Odyssey hats too.
Look, here you go. Now you go trying to nitpick every little speech impediment that I have. You clearly, literally, like less than 90 seconds ago, sat here and said it's Lamar Jackson's fault that the wide receivers have busted out.
No,
and then you referenced Rashad Perriman.
I didn't
Get
say it's his fault. I said some of it,
no,
some
Chris.
Of the failure of the Baltimore receivers, which they've invested a lot of resource in, has to be.
They drafted Devontae Walker this year. Why he can't get on the field. Is that Lamar's fault?
That's just this year.
Is that Lamar's fault?
That's just this year. Look at the track record. Look, everybody thinks, oh, Hollywood Brown was okay. He was fine. And he did some good things. Lamar's not been consistent as much as you guys think he is. He just hasn't, period. All right, we got to take a time. Jeremy Chin going to join us. We'll get back to the calls if we can.
Devin Duvernay, huh?
Yeah.
That's his fault?
You're not paying attention, as usual. You guys
dropped Rashad Perriman.
You guys are punch drunk as usual. Jeremy Chin from the Washington Commanders scheduled to join us next on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Back here on the Team 980, joining us right now on the BetQL guest hotline, we go out to Ashburn where the Washington Commanders at 4-1, winners of four in a row, are getting set for the Baltimore Ravens this Sunday afternoon in Baltimore. Joining us now is Commanders starting safety, Jeremy Chin, of course, new to the team this year, but has been playing some good football of late, certainly. Jeremy, thank you very much for your time. How are you? And congratulations on a good start.
Thank you very much. I'm feeling great, man. I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm happy to have you. So, I mean, I guess big picture, you know, you guys, it didn't start off great on defense, right? I think we all kind of know that there was, you know, some getting on the bike moments, if you will, but things have really turned around the last couple of games. What would you put a finger on as to why the defense has rallied to the cause the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the offense has done a great job, one, protecting the football and going down and putting points on the board. So really as a defense, we find it our responsibility just to put extra time and put extra work in. And I think the time that we have put in these past few weeks have really shown up on a Sunday.
Yeah, you guys didn't play a whole lot in the preseason as a starting defense. How much of the first couple of weeks was just feeling each other out and understanding how to, you know, run fit properly when you're going 100 miles an hour? Because I always say, man, the only way to get ready to play football is by playing football.
Right. No, I mean, you're exactly right. I feel like that's the bulk of it, really. When you come from, you know, a long off season and you get back in the groove of things, it may take a game or two. So, you know, good thing for us that happened early on. But we definitely have a good feel for the group that we have, and I think we're feeling really good about it.
And I assume the same thing for tackling, right? I mean, we're all out there at training camp and OTAs, and we see you guys working on technique. We see you working on tackling dummies. And I know you can hit a little bit, but you can't tackle, you can't wrap, you can't bring down. How hard is that to go from basically 0 to 100 when the games go live week one?
I mean, like you saw the first couple weeks. Like it definitely is a transition, for sure. But you know, once you do it a couple times and you start to get that feel for it, then it's back to ball.
For sure. And I was someone that was pretty critical of you all's play the first couple of weeks. So it's, you know, damn cool to see you all turn it around from a tackling standpoint. You have made some big time hits over the past couple of weeks, and it feels like you are starting to take on the role as the enforcer of this defense. One, how much pride do you take in that? And then this week, going up against a guy like Derrick Henry, can you give us a little bit of insight into the tackling plan that keeps getting talked about here?
Yeah, I do. I take a lot of pride in it. But like at the same time, I'm just one of 11 in this group. So, we got a really strong defense. You know, really, really great coaches up top that put us in position to play well and play to our best abilities. And as far as this week goes, you know, Derrick Henry's obviously one of the top backs in the league. He has been for a long time. So we see it as an opportunity, in front of us. So, you know, as long as we do the things that we know what we're capable of doing, and I have a lot of confidence. I know this group has a lot of confidence.
Jeremy Chinn joining us from the Washington Commanders as they get ready for the Baltimore Ravens. Nice enough to join us here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So, Jeremy, you just kind of mentioned, Linnell asked you about Derrick Henry. What is the key when a guy is that fast, that big, that good? Is it gang tackling? Is it certain technique? Is it getting them at the legs to chop them down? Like, what is the, and I don't know how much you can say, what is the one, I guess, priority and focus when it comes to a dude with that kind of size and speed?
Well, it's going to take all 11 guys, you know, being disciplined in our gaps, being disciplined in the run game. And then when we all get an opportunity, you know, getting to the ball and getting 11 hats to the ball. But I mean, it starts with just being disciplined in the run game.
For sure. One thing that I've noticed, man, is here in the past 3 weeks, I think complimentary football, it gets talked about a lot throughout the NFL. It's one of those buzz phrases, but you all are really doing it. When you see Jeremy McNichol hauling ass downfield on kickoff, when you see Nick Ballore and Revo, how much energy does that give you all before you get out onto the field as a defense?
Man, it's so cool, man. Like that stuff right there, it really lights a fire to how we take the field. Like when you come on after, you know, kickoff just had a big hit or a big tackle, right, you know, inside the 30 or inside the 25 or something, you know, that really, it's really like the first play on defense, and it just sparks us as we hit the field.
No, that's so cool that there's a carryover, because I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right. Special teams, some demons. And you had a big hit on special teams. What was it, the Arizona game that forced the fumble on the opening kickoff, for crying out loud? Yeah. And you guys almost got the turnover there. So you guys have really been taking the lumber. Speaking of which, another guy that I've been really impressed with last couple of weeks, and in terms of his physicality, is Mikey Sanristil, the rookie. So I ask you, you're a hard hitter. You're a physical player. You guys are all physical players. But how would, when you see him hit, does that fire you guys up a little bit? Or is that just kind of the mentality that Joe Witt has kind of imparted on you guys, you know, which is arrive violently and kind of do the things that he's preached, at least to us in the media?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely both. You know, we've created a standard for how we get to the ball, you know, how we play in this defense. But, you know, when you see Mikey do it, you know, being the rookie of the little guy out there and just being able to have that, you know, power out there and that explosiveness when he, you know, is making contact, like, it turns everybody up, you know. And we love to see it. We love how he's, you know, kind of coming along with this defense and how it's starting to make sense to him, how offenses are starting to make sense to him. And it's really cool to see.
something Joe Witt has continued to mention, and he just spoke to the media a moment ago, man. No interceptions here through the first 5 weeks of the season. How conscious are you guys of that? And is it something that, you know, you guys are giving Quan Martin a little bit of stuff for dropping a pick, you know, earlier this week? How important is it for you guys to, you know, continue to focus on trying to turn people over? Because it feels like when they do start to come, Jeremy, they'll come in bunches.
Yeah, absolutely. And we know that, and we believe that. And it's funny because the thing about it is that you definitely want to force those interceptions and go get the ball. But I feel like the moment you take that chance and you take the roof off coverage and, you know, try to look for certain things, it comes and bites you. So as long as we stay disciplined in our coverage and be where we're supposed to be, we know those opportunities are going to come to us. And once we get that first one, we know they'll it's like a domino effect. They'll keep coming. But we're thinking about that, you know, all the time.
Jeremy Chin with us from the Washington Commanders. They get set for the Baltimore Ravens. You mentioned discipline and coverage. How hard is it to stay disciplined in coverage when you got a quarterback like Lamar, much like your own, who is going to extend plays, roll all the way out to the sideline, throw back across the field, do all sorts of crazy stuff with his arms and his legs, but to force the back end to hold up for much longer than ideal or that you would likely have to do against more of a pocket quarterback?
Yeah, like we had mentioned earlier, as far as complementary football, getting rushing coverage on the same line. So as long as the guys up front are doing what they have been doing, and as far as, you know, applying pressure and making the quarterback get off the spot, the back end has to do their part too, as far as making them, you know, pat the ball in the pocket and hold on to the rock and, stay in coverage. But, you know, sometimes, you know, with a guy like Lamar who can scramble, make those untimely plays and those extended plays. It just makes the back end part, you know, we just got to continue to cover longer than what a normal play may be. So being able to plaster and just stay in coverage, you know, play longer.
It was pretty clear this summer that you know, offense, defense, you all had a rapport with each other in terms of off the field and just the camaraderie that you all have had in that locker room. We got a chance to talk to Luke last week, and he mentioned how important that trip to Tempe was. You guys spending that week with each other. What was your vantage point of how that week went? And then kind of a two-parter here for you. How has Dan Quinn, you know, and this coaching staff tried to temper expectations for you all? Because I know it's easy to go out and read your own press clippings right now. You all are top five in a bunch of different power rankings, but how do you, you know, stay level-headed and keep the main thing?
Yeah, as far as being level-headed and keeping the main thing, like, we didn't get to, you know, the position that we're in right now, off of not working and off of reading certain, you know, clips or whatever is in headlines. So really just keeping our head down and continue to work, man. Like, we've created, this is who we are. So just continue to What brought this, you know, small success that we have right now is the work that we put into. So, you know, this group loves working with each other every single day, and it'll just be that way. That's just what it is. And as far as the Tempe trip, it was great. Like, even in the preseason, like, we went to Miami together. Mm-hmm. We went to New York and stuff. So just being able to spend that time with each other, it really just builds that camaraderie.
One last one for you. We know you got to get to practice. We appreciate you, Jeremy Chin, with us. You were in Carolina last year, obviously, and I don't want you to talk bad about anybody, but you saw the struggles that Bryce Young, as the number one overall pick, went through. When did you know, going against practice in the meetings, OTAs, when did you know Jaden was, you know, as the cool kids say, him?
Man, I feel like I knew pretty early on, and I could just tell just by the way that he cared. Just at the time, you know, he came in and just what it meant to him. Mm-hmm. Being the guy here, but also, you know, just putting the work in and wanting to earn that and be that, not just coming in because, you know, he's second overall pick. You know, everybody knows that, but really earning that and feeling like he deserves to take that.
Hey, Jeremy, good luck this Sunday. We'll be pulling for you guys. Come on back 5-1, but more importantly, come on back safe and healthy. Thank you so much for doing this. Have a great rest of the practice week. We appreciate you, okay?
Brother. Go tag somebody Sunday, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That is Jeremy Chin, Commander Safety, with us. Yeah. All right, Jeremy Chin joining us. Thanks to Sam at Commander's PR for always assisting us and helping us out. We can't do it without her. Thanks to Jeremy Chin for making time for us. That was actually recorded before practice, just so people know, in full disclosure.
You didn't have to tell them. They wouldn't have known.
I'm nothing if I'm not honest. Sometimes honesty gets you in trouble. as you well know, right? Time for a quick trending alert and then clean up on aisle three. But it's a special cleanup on aisle three because Lanell Willingham is going to put the Washington Commanders in his prestigious Super Six Pack. Or is he? The answer to that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, the Commanders wrapping up the practice day. One more to go before heading up a 9-5 to Baltimore for the 3-2 Ravens, who come in off that overtime win against the Cincinnati Bengals. And the Commanders have, of course, won four in a row. Our pregame coverage on Sunday begins at 9 a.m. You've got the youngest in charge, Lanell Willingham. And Denton Day, starting at 11, they'll take you 2 hours before kickoff. Then throughout the game, in-game live, interactive and all. And then DOC on your way home if you're going up to Baltimore and M&T Bank Stadium or wherever you might be watching the game. Of course, a 1 o'clock kickoff, CBS on the television coverage for the Commanders and the Ravens. Meanwhile, the Jets have essentially demoted Nathaniel Hackett, Aaron Rodgers' preferred offensive coordinator and play caller. Instead, Jeff Ulbrich, the new interim head coach, is naming Todd Downing, the former Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator and current quarterback coach, passing game coordinator, as the offensive play caller for the Jets beginning this Monday night in Buffalo. Tonight, Thursday night football, big one for both teams as they are both struggling, the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks at Lumen Field. You can hear the coverage beginning at 7:30 right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And from baseball, little playoff elimination action coming up later on tonight. The Detroit Tigers trying to end the Guardians season at 6:08 in Motown. And the Kansas City Royals trying to stay alive against the New York Yankees at 8:08. And that's what's trending.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
That's how you get geared up for Nell's Super Six Pack, the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio. I'll give you my top six NFL teams, plus we'll give you our three honorable mention. Fly, but not fly enough to get into the club, that club being Nell's Super Six Pack.
Can we spin the wheel of doom so that every pick that he gets wrong, he's got to do one of these things?
We can talk to the next show about, you know, some potential usage of that wheel. Because there's a couple of things on there I would pay for.
I would love to see you suffer for all the things you get wrong.
I don't get it. I would
just love that.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure there's nothing that would make you more happy.
I mean, if I could get you in front of a plate of like three Fire Island, Mile Island wings or whatever, yeah, it would be.
That hot stuff, I'm not good with that. I'll never forget when B. Mitch made me do that. I had to
forever.
Basically, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. My chest hurt. I literally had to take a nap while producing the show.
How would you take it?
Because my heart was burning. That, like, my chest, it was so uncomfortable that I laid in that. That little glass area, I literally laid over there, and I couldn't do anything else. Hmm. They didn't give me no milk. Well, now we know.
Would you like milk and cookies next time?
I don't want anything anymore.
I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three.
Here we go.
Before we get to okay. The most non-revolutionary.
We never called it revolutionary. We just said it was highly anticipated.
Innovative, non-innovative. non-highly anticipated ranking system of 14 teams. Before we get there,
it's six teams.
Atnell underscore BTP writes to at Longfellow underscore TWAD, who are you in big capital letters? No question mark, but big capital letters. And Longfellow TWAD, TIDWAD, at Longfellow underscore TWAD says, I'm a YIC fan supporting the hardest working man in radio. Don't let industry plants like WrestleMania 621 crush your soul. Don't you feel like a weasel for calling him out?
I'm not calling him out. I just asked who the hell he was.
Okay. Maybe he's on your committee.
He's not a part of the committee.
Okay.
He's not.
Well, let's find out.
And Longfellow TY, don't act like you've said all nice things about me on this app. So you can try to ass kiss all you want. Reveal yourself. Maybe I might have something for you. And whatever screenshot this is from, it makes me look bald. And my lips look...
It is a pretty...
And there are people following this thing. AWOD follows him.
It's a pretty...
Paulie follows him. JP Finley follows
him. Yeah, because it's funny. It's fun to make fun of you.
JP Finley doesn't even follow my... almost said JP Finley doesn't even follow me.
Well, maybe you should stop arguing with his co-host. But anyway...
The decision maker's going to get you for that comment, and I'm going to make sure of it.
Anyway, let's move on.
Use my pool here. Yeah,
let's move on. What did the committee...
It may be Linnell Willingham.
Can you just stop? What did the committee come up with today?
Can I get my sounder?
I mean, a ranking...
Is that not possible because we're playing music? Okay.
Do you think the Commanders made the top 14?
Okay. There are six teams in my Super Six Pack, Chris, and there are three honorable mention teams. Where the hell are you coming up with 14 from? Good God. Can I have something on this show? You won't put my name on the damn show? You won't let me ask the tough questions to that bastard Vinny Serrato? No, Super Six Pack, top six teams in the NFL. First, my three honorable mention teams fly, but not fly enough to get in the club. My first honorable mention team, since you've spoiled it all damn show, the Washington Commanders are fly, but not fly enough to get into the Super Six Pack. They're playing good ball. If they beat Baltimore, we may see them in the Super Six Pack next week. Also, not fly enough to get in the club. Buffalo, tough loss to Houston. I thought they played really well. Josh Allen hadn't thrown a pick yet this year. Tampa Bay, they're playing good ball. Hard to put them on this over the team that's number six because the number six team just beat them. Number six, an L Super Six Pack.
So wait, Washington, Buffalo, and Tampa on the outside looking in.
On the outside looking
of
in.
Of your prestigious
of
list,
my six
right?
pack, yes. Mm-hmm. On the outside looking in.
Okay.
Can you argue with the committee?
I mean, three honorable mentions is a pretty long list of honorable mentions.
Well, there are teams that matter. Number six, Raheem Morris and the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're a team that is trending in the right direction. In terms of the teams in this Super Six Pack, I say they may have the best quality opponents that they have taken on to start the season, as they've taken on Kansas City, Tampa, New Orleans already in this year. And they're 3-2 right now, playing some good ball. Number five, the Detroit Lions. I have a love-hate affair with Detroit. I like what they have defensively when they're healthy. Aiden Hutchinson's been playing like a man possessed. They come in at number five. Number four, the team Washington plays on Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens. Winners of three in a row. They're starting to turn things around offensively. Lamar Jackson continuing to dice people from the pocket. They come in at number four. Number three, the Houston Texans. They have quietly got off to a 4-1? To start the year here, and they have some wins against some quality opponents. I think C.J. Stroud and company are playing really well. They won a tough game last week against Buffalo. I like what the Texans have. They're the best pass rush in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're also without Nico Collins moving forward for at least
the
next 4 weeks.
Joe Mixon also is coming back, so that helps, and that's okay. The real identity of this offense. If they can't run the football, they're not as good.
That's fine.
They come in at number three. Number two, Justin Jefferson in the Minnesota Vikings. Brian Flores, the early lead for assistant coach of the year, in my opinion. Him and Cliff Kingsbury will have to duke it out for that award. Their defense has played lights out. They continue to prove, no matter what level of opponent they go against, that they're damn good. I talked about quality wins. Look at who the Vikings have beat this year. You beat the Jets across the pond. You've beaten the Texans. You beat the Packers. You beat the Niners. They should be number one, but I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Until proven otherwise, this is the best team in football. The regular season doesn't matter much to a group that's looking to make history in the postseason, and that's now Super Six Pack.
Wow, everybody.
What a list.
I mean, the most innovative list in the history of this great medium. Nobody's ever done it before. Three honorable mentions, and yet the Commanders can barely sniff one of those spots.
They did. They were the first honorable mention team, meaning they were the closest to getting in.
No, usually you would start at nine and then work your way down.
I'm not you, and you're not me, clearly. That's no Super Six Pack, people.
So the Commanders are just on the outside looking
in,
right?
They're not fly enough to get in the club.
They're just on the outside looking
in. Maybe they
got to
wear a different pair of shoes.
All right. One other thing that I wanted to get to, Maddie, you can end this, the cleanup on aisle three, because I need a little more time here. Just real
clean
quick.
Cleanup in aisle three.
Just wanted to make sure we got in the Super Six Pack with the committee and the hard work and all the things that they did.
Burning the midnight oil.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hopefully the College Football Playoff Committee is a lot better than this committee, but, you know, we'll see when we get to December. One thing that I wanted to get into real quickly before we get to Dumb Dumb of the Day on the other side. And by the way, can I say who's Craig? Is coming up on Craig's show or no? Okay. So De'Ami Brown has scored the touchdown from Jaden Daniels near the end of the first half. He's scheduled to join Craig just after 4 o'clock. If you missed Jeremy Chin with us, obviously hit the rewind. Check out the podcast after the show. Odyssey app, theteam980.com. If you missed Vinny Serrato with us, same thing, 2 o'clock. And if you missed Rasmus Sandin, I always call him Sundin because of Matt Sundin, Rasmus Sandin of the Washington Capitals, same thing there. So the Los Angeles Dodgers, last night, won a game four at Petco Park in San Diego.
Are you trying to rub this in my
face? No. In San Diego, and they did it with ease. They throttled them. They jumped out to a big lead, and they didn't allow a run. Bullpen pitched the whole game. A shutout.
Yep.
How does that make you feel, Mr. Number One Padre fan? Because I know you've become a big Padre guy.
All of a sudden, right?
Right.
I love Petco Park and also love Daniel Jeremiah. So
yes.
It's part of my affinity for the Padres.
Right.
It was tough. Once the announcement was made yesterday that, you know, we weren't going to see a real starting pitcher to start the game, I actually felt good about what we were going to see. They threw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different arms last night.
Yeah, they
all
did.
Going about an inning apiece.
Yeah, it's bullpen by committee.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting approach. Clearly, clearly Dylan Cease didn't care about that.
I mean,
yourself, San Diego.
that's what the Dodgers bullpen said.
Pretty much.
There are a couple of familiar names in that group. Daniel Hudson.
Yes.
You may remember him from, what was it?
World Series.
The 2019 World Series. That's right. For the Nationals. And there was another former National as part of that, I guess you would just call it a contingent, right? Because it wasn't like, there wasn't three or four guys. Blake Treinen. Also part of that big Dodger contingent that had Washington national roots.
Big point to you.
How about this? The Padres, who were on fire.
In fuego
in games 2 and 3, coming up with absolutely diddly-do-squat in game 4 against all these arms.
They look like the Nationals.
Not like the Mets, baby, who showed the heart of a lion.
Fraudulent.
The character, the guts, the spirit. And if it wasn't for all you dumbasses that prejudice and hate New York for no reason,
we hate New York because of you, Chris.
You all would recognize how great this Mets team is, how great this story is, how fun they are to watch. You would all recognize it. All right, that does it. I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes on it. Go Royals tonight, baby!
You see Pat Mahomes last night in the run that they went on once they showed him on the big screen?
Yes, I heard some things about Patrick Mahomes. Yes, indeed. Coming up, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We will wrap up the show before Craig Hoffman takes over at 4.
You know this song?
Sure I do. It's Riding by Chameleon Air.
by Chameleon Air.
Right? That's their name, right?
Yeah. I remember this song. They used to do a bit when you got pulled over on the phone.
Yeah.
They would do a bit, and they would play this song, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that was on the former show known as the Chad Duke Show.
Yeah,
correct.
I remember that.
When I was just trying to help out, and everybody, of course, made fun of me. And I wound up on Fox News Channel, and my mom, who didn't care one rat's ass about my career, God rest her soul, only cared because I was driving while on the phone and on her television.
I'm very upset every single day that I don't have that audio in my folder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I think it's over on the other side. But anyway, it is time to wrap up the show. Don't forget, Craig Hoffman's got De'Ami Brown coming up at the start of the show, so we make way for him in just a couple of moments. But you know how we wrap it up.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
Let me just say this. I love a good cookie. Oatmeal raisin cookies are awesome. There's other good cookies, but oatmeal raisin cookies are by far the best. I loved Sesame Street as a kid growing up, and even when my kids were growing up, Cookie Monster was one of my favorites. Who doesn't love Cookie Monster? Yum, 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 cookie. Well, somebody decided that they love Cookie Monster too. In Germany, a motorist in a car dressed up as Cookie Monster, wearing the blue, as they describe it, biscuit-loving children's character outfit with the whole getup. I've seen the still shots, and not only did they dress up like that and drive a car, but they were speeding through an intersection and caught on camera.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. They were going way too fast. Got a $50 fine, which is really nothing. They were going 10 miles per hour faster than the posted speed limit of 60 miles per hour back in late September. Now, that's a little bit rich for me, right? Beep, beep. 10 miles per hour. I mean, that's kind of like right on that borderline. But if I was stupid enough, if I was dumb enough to wear a Cookie Monster outfit and then get behind the wheel of a car and drive and then not drive legally, I deserve to get fined. I deserve to get called out for Dumb Dumb of the Day. I deserve a lot of the crap that we give to Linnell. Cue the fool said it already sold.
Congratulations, you're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
When people do weird and silly things, they deserve to get called out for it. Linnell, thank you. Appreciate you. Thanks for raising my blood pressure over the next last 2 days.
You're welcome.
When can we see you next?
Sunday,
game day with Denton Day?
Check out the ESPN Plus stream.
Oh,
Howard football,
right,
this weekend.
The voice of Howard football.
I was going to be on the call for Maryland this week, but that got kicked to the curb.
Yes, we heard that yesterday.
Then Sunday, man. Jaden Daniels backwards jersey bit continues.
I'll let you know how
undefeated.
I'll let you know how the crab dip tastes up in Baltimore.
Yeah,
when I get there.
Never mind. Thank you for having me, Chris.
That didn't work out.
My invoice will be here soon.
We should just attach you to the wheel of hell over here.
Just spin me.
And just spin you around and see what you come up with.
I had to call Chris Russell 10 times last night to figure out what time to get here.
Matty Ice.
You wouldn't tell me.
Thank you very much for all of your hard work.
Yeah, Matt. Thanks for tolerating
good efforts. Thanks to Rasmus Sandin of the Washington Capitals. Caps PR. Thanks to Jeremy Chin of the Washington Commanders and Commanders PR. Thanks to Vinny Serrato, 105.7, The Fan in Baltimore. Coming up, Craig Hoffman. He's got De'Ami Brown. He'll take you through on this Thursday. Back at it tomorrow, 1 o'clock, with the most creative, the most original, the most innovative, the most never been done before segment Sports Talk Radio in the history of Sports Talk Radio. Dueling NFL Sunday Super Six Packs, baby. Yeah, and our game picks. Have a great rest of your Thursday afternoon.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.